Hello and welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook. I'm your host as ever. I have to look at the camera because for those listening in audio version, this is being recorded on video, which could either go one of two ways because to my... That way is Adam Carroll. How are you, mate? All right?
So what? I'm over there?
Yeah, and... Sort of.
Yeah, but sort of.
The thing is if we continually refer to visual things,
yeah.
It's not going to work when people just listen. Is it Mick Fraser? Hello, Mick. How are you doing?
Hello, how are you? All right.
It's great to have you on a podcast, mate. It's too long.
It's been years. I listened to my last one a couple of weeks ago, actually.
When was that?
We were talking, I think, about Agents of Mayhem. I think it was that far.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So it's been a while, yeah.
So let's just get into games then. We thought we'd try something different, and if this works and you're watching it, let us know so we can do more of it. And if you just think, ah, no, stop talking like we can see you, then that's fine too. I could just probably edit that all out. But we're here to talk about games, and loads of games have come out, and there's a special reason we've got Mick on. It's not just because he's great, it's because he's like the tactics man, because we've got two games on this list this week he's been playing that are both tactics-based. That's not even all of the tactics. Is that the genre, Mick? Is it these are tactics games?
Yeah, I think it's just they haven't thought of a catchy acronym yet. It's just like turn-based tactical game. So yeah, because I looked it up. I've written that many tactics reviews the last couple of weeks. I thought I'd better actually find out if there was a proper name for it. But apparently, this is just a turn-based tactical.
Whatever. But like, it would be like it would be like when everyone says a Souls-like, or it'd be like an XCOM-like, wouldn't it?
That's a bit of a mouthful. I just call them tactics games.
Well, I want to talk about the one that excites me the most, right? Because you are... I mean, at the time we're recording this, your review is done and dusted, and people will probably be able to read it.
Early hours of this morning, yeah.
Yes, very. You operate different hours to me, mate.
It was like 3 a.m. or something, yeah.
But Gears Tactics, which not only takes Gears of War and just says it's now Gears, like, again, but it's also just Gears Tactics, and I can't help but feel that's not a great name for a video game.
It's a bit rubbish. Yeah, Gears Tactics.
Shooter.
Are we missing the of war, though?
Yeah, but I think so. Because I think if they'd have just called it Gears of War Tactics.
Yeah.
Because and it's really annoying when you're writing the review because the soldiers are all called Gears and the game's called Gears and it's...
A lot of Gears.
And I kept referring to them as cogs and that just looked stupid in written words, so I changed it to Gears. I prefer if it was called Gears of War Tactics, but I'm not Splash Damage and the Coalition, so I don't get to make those decisions.
No.
Yeah.
The world would be better if I did, I think.
But Gears Tactics then. And a little birdie may have, and a little birdie's you in this case, actually, may have told me this is probably your game of the year so far.
How much?
I was waiting for Adam's reaction then.
How much am I allowed to say?
By the time people see this, the review's up, it's done.
Okay, if the review's already... Game of the Year, to be honest, it's absolutely fucking incredible. Really, really good. Yeah. Really good, yeah. It's... I don't even want to call it an XCOM clone, because that's like an insult to it. Yeah. Like all the other things that I've played recently, no disrespect to them, but I've played like quite a few recently with like Phoenix Point, and I've played that Corruption 20.
What was the one literally the weekend just gone? It's gone up. Fort
Triumph. That's brilliant. You know, they're all good games. And Chimera Squad, which we'll talk about in a bit, because I just reviewed that. Also good, not a patch on XCOM and XCOM 2, but it's good. But no, yeah, Gears Tactics, it's just in a league of its own. It's just such... It's got all the mechanics of, like, an XCOM game, but the whole thing is so Gears of War. You just can't mistake it for anything else. It's unbelievably good.
So what makes this different? What makes this a different type of tactics game, for want of a better...
I guess just the Gears flavour, like, makes it... Like, I saw this thing the other day on an advert for it, where it said fast-paced turn-based combat, and somebody in the comments, some random guy in the comments, had put, "Well, pick one," which I thought was at the time I chuckled, but then I played it and I thought they didn't need to pick one because it's so fast. Like, you take something like XCOM where you're looking at the map for ages, working out where to put your soldiers, and then the enemy, they do that. I don't know if it's a real thing or if they pretend the enemy's thinking about their move. I don't know if they do that for effect, where it looks like the enemy's sort of considering things. There's nothing like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you just... It's hard to describe it exactly, but it you wouldn't know that it's a grid-based map for a start. Looking at the map, you wouldn't know you were working on a grid-based map, because it looks like they've just taken a Gears mission and zoomed out. So, you know, the waist-high cover and all that stuff is in there. And you sort of, as you position your shoulders, you haven't got to wait for each one to finish moving. So you can tell Gabe, for instance, to fire. And at the same time, you can move Sid into position and you can tell the next guy to fire. And it doesn't pause it, but they don't wait for the first...
Hang on. Sid?
Sid. There's a new character.
One of the guys is called Sid.
Sid, yeah. Sid Redburn. He's actually a pretty cool character.
Okay, yeah, I'll take it back.
To be honest, it's like Gabe, Sid and Michaela are the three, mate. Okay. And it sounds like...
Strachan? Michaela Strachan? Or...
Yeah, well, exactly. It sounds like a trio of sort of kids' TV presenters.
Yep.
But they're not, because they shoot shit all day.
No, they're not.
But but you don't have to wait. So it's hard to explain. It's not like you queue up moves or anything. But say, for example, once one guy's in transit, you skip to the next one and get him in transit. And it just feels much more, because you can see so much of the battlefield, because the camera stays zoomed out. You can't zoom in like you can on XCOM, right down to seeing people's close-ups. Right. The camera sort of stays zoomed out. You can drop it down and up, but that's all. But you have it's, and then when you fire, like the Overwatch, it's fucking just brilliant. The Overwatch in this game is just a work of art. It's just, they don't stop shooting. It's just, so if you've got a full mag, you'll just unload a full mag at the enemy that steps into your line of fire. And when you've got sort of four gears all lined up on Overwatch into one area, and the enemy just move at once, like the wretches move as a group. They just come at you, five or six wretches and tickers and things like that. And once they move into the cone of fire and everybody just opens fire, it's fantastic.
So how does that work when, because like obviously in Gears, wretches are the fodder, aren't they? They're the, you know, you can literally kick them and then just shoot them a bit. How does that work in this? Because in like, in another tactics game, it's kind of mano a mano often, and they're kind of your equal rather than complete fodder, aren't they?
Yeah.
Do you only kill wretches in that manner, or can you... what I'm getting at, I think, is it would feel like almost a waste of a turn to, say, use like a Nasher shotgun on a wretch if that's one of your turns gone.
Am I thinking a bit wrong? No. You have to use a turn to kill a wretch, but they don't survive anything, if you get what I mean.
Okay, so there's no risk.
You rarely have a low chance to hit unless that... Excuse me a minute, sorry.
I can edit this. Are you a tactics fan? Like, do you like this style of game?
Not... Like, I tried XCOM.
Yeah.
Not really my bag. And do you know what? The only... If we can still call it a tactics game, the only one I really got into was Mario & Rabbids. Which is probably, I don't know if that's, is that an insult? Is it to people who aren't tactic games?
The joys of children, sorry.
I was asking Adam if he likes the tactics games, and he was saying the one he's played the most is Mario and Rabbids.
Which I don't know if that's like...
I've not played Mario and Rabbids.
Look, it is hard. It does get challenging, so it offers that. Yeah, it gets there. But like, I tried XCOM and stuff, but I think what let me down with XCOM, and I know this isn't fair considering it's like gameplay and stuff is supposed to be, it is amazing for people who are into tactic games. I wasn't into the visual aesthetic of the game. And that just threw me away from it. Now, something like Gears Tactics, I like how Gears games look. I like the action side of it all, and this could be something that I might have interest in, but once again, like, it's kind of like a Fire Emblem job, isn't it? Like, you're either in or not, kind of, in some ways.
Yeah, I guess so. They're not for everybody.
Yeah.
They're very different games to, like, any other genre. Do you know? I mean, that sounds a bit silly, because...
The question I've got then, right, is why... And it's probably a bit unfair, but Mick, you've played it, so you're the only one who I can ask, really. Mm. Why is this only coming to PC now? Why is it? Because I heard a rumor that you can play it with a controller.
And yeah, you can.
Why is it not? You know what I mean? Why is it a PC only game then? Like,
I don't know. I really don't know. Because I'll tell
there's
you
nothing in it then that's like, this is PC.
No, and I tell you what, it's not particularly like graphically intensive either. Mm. Like I was playing it with everything whacked up to sort of ultra and it looked amazing. But I tested it with some of the settings toned down and it still looked really good. I mean, it didn't look as amazing, but it still looked really good. And so if you had to dial it back a little bit to put it on Xbox One, which I don't think you really would with the X, I don't really know. I mean,
so is it a case of they want to be able to say this is a Game Pass PC game?
I think it might be. Yeah. I think they might be trying to push that a little bit because there's no other reason. There's literally no other reason.
Isn't that going to piss off people?
Oh, big time! Yeah,
like, I mean, especially it's a Gears game as well. It's not just like some PC exclusive. This is a Gears game.
Well, you know, this Gears is like a flagship Xbox franchise.
It's the flagship,
yeah. It is,
until Halo comes back.
Yeah. I mean, Halo sort of has been, you know, forgive me, but Halo's been really hit and miss since sort of Halo 3, as far as I'm concerned. I didn't really like 4 and 5 that much.
I enjoyed on camera where people can see your face as well.
Like, I reviewed Halo 5, and I think I gave it like an 8.5 or something. So, I'm not saying it was bad, but it hasn't had. They lost the magic at Halo 3, as far as I was concerned.
He's just doubling down, Adam.
That's all right. Listen, I made Halo comments there a few weeks ago, so that's that.
Yeah. But I mean, Gears is a little bit different because Gears is just. I mean, Halo's been on PC for quite a while, hasn't it? I think Halo 2 was on PC. Well, I reviewed it for some other.
They just put out the. What was it? The Master Chief Collection just came to PC as well.
Yeah,
didn't it?
So that's everyone's sort of used to that now, and they've sort of you know, the wounds healed. But Gears, I mean, I've seen comments on the adverts, and people are just
really.
They're really, and I mean, I'm not going to spoil my score in case you haven't read it, but I've given it's going to piss some Xbox fanboys off.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it is coming to Xbox, though, isn't it?
The thing. Maybe if they'd said it's going to PC first and Xbox on, I don't know, like November the 5th or so. If they'd said that, then you could at least go, all right.
Yeah.
Same with Final Fantasy VII Remake. We know that's coming to Xbox, but we also know it's roughly a year later. So at least. Not ideal. You have.
Will it be a year later? Do you think?
Yeah, I think it's first. I think it's a year exclusive.
Stuff like that's nuts. That pisses me off. But because it just feels like it's just keeping people out who want to play the game. But I mean, you know, that's business, I guess. But
money.
Yeah, but for Gears not being on Xbox makes no sense because I played it with a pad a little bit. I didn't really put it in the review because it was kind of irrelevant.
But, I see. So you're playing both sides. You don't want to annoy the PC players by saying you tried a controller.
Yeah, but I did try the controller a little bit. And it plays fine. But, I mean, because it's a tactics game, so, I mean, you're working with a couple of buttons. On PC, it's just a little bit easier. You know, you don't need sort of that. You need the pinpoint control of a mouse. It's much easier to click, 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 and, you know... space bar to execute, blah blah, and it's just easier. But I don't get. There's no reason it couldn't just have come to Xbox and PC at the same time.
In terms of Gears storytelling, how is tactics in that department?
It's up there with the rest of them, to be honest.
Yeah.
There's a couple of bits in the Gears franchise that have. I thought have just been fantastic. Like people, they call Gears. Everyone thinks it's just big and dumb and noisy, and it is big and dumb and noisy at times. But things like bits in like Gears 2. Was it Gears 2 with Dom's wife?
Yeah,
you know, and then the sacrifice in Gears of War 3 and things
and
like that.
And you know what? Just not to spoil it, but that sacrifice in Gears 3, kind of cleverly done with the throwback to the music from the very original trailer. Kind of like, you know, it is big and dumb, but it's also.
Yeah, but it's done.
It's got heart, man.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Like, it has got heart. So it's not the most intelligent storytelling. It's not the most, it's not the cleverest thing, but it gets its twists in. I mean, Gears Tactics surprised me through the story a couple of times with twists that I didn't expect because I was thinking, well, this is just going to be an A to B storyline. We're just going to go here, kill this dude. We're going to capture that dude. We're going to kill this. But whatever. I thought that was pretty straightforward, but then it wasn't. Then all of a sudden, you know, it threw a twist in, and then a couple of chapters later, it threw in another twist, and I wasn't expecting it. So it did take me by surprise a little bit. It hasn't got as big an emotional kick, I think, as the first trilogy or even sort of Gears 5 and stuff with Kate and her mum and that sort of stuff. But it is up there. It does tell a good story. There's a lot of cutscenes as well. For a tactics game, there's a lot of cutscenes.
Okay. I want to know, I sort of, if you can be as vague as possible. Because
how does it end?
I am going to play it. So I don't want to know, but I also kind of want to know. One thing I always find with prequels, and there's two ways they do this. They either do it really well or they just forget about it. Is like in Gears 5, for example, they're bringing weapons in from... like they're new weapons, but they're kind of old weapons. We found the... I think one of them... what I'm saying is, how do they deal with the fact that this is a prequel and there are... Is it Ukon? I think. Ukon, yeah. So he's the guy who made the broom axe, and he's the locust that made the broom axe and the corpses, all the nasty stuff.
Yeah,
the big stuff. So how does it do it well? Is it a done well prequel, or is it like they just went sod it, whatever? Like, are there weapons in Gears 5 that are in this that shouldn't be? Do you know what I mean? I'm guessing I'm asking about Gears continuity. Sorry.
It's everything that's in the other Gears games is in this game. So pretty much all the enemies that have ever turned up in a Gears game, pretty much, I mean, you've got the Lancers and the Retro Lancers and all that, the hardware. It doesn't really matter. Like,
okay.
I think it's 12 years before. So I think this is set in a time probably before even like Asfo Field. So I'm not sure where that falls in the lore and stuff, which was like the big thing that happened in the past in the first trilogy. But it doesn't really matter. Like, it's just, it doesn't even tell you 12 years before. I just know that because it says in the press pack, but I know it's 12 years before the events of Gears of War. And Gabe is just kind of a Marcus and Dom gestalt.
Right.
Like, he pretty much is a bit of him's Marcus and a bit of him's Dom. And in terms of like how his character is, he's pretty much standard Gears of War dude. Like, he's not a pacifist. That's not the word I'm looking for. He doesn't want to fight anyway. He's not interested in the war.
He's in the wrong game then.
Yeah, he's gone off and he's just become a mechanic, and he's disenchanted, disenfranchised by the Coalition. He doesn't want to know. So it's very much sort of plonks you. Whereas Gears of War sort of begins at the beginning of the end of the war, if that makes sense. Like, that's that storyline.
Yeah.
Or you feel it, because you didn't know what was going to happen in 4 or 5. But that trilogy, the Marcus and Dom trilogy, is kind of like the beginning of the end, like you're going to try and the light mass bomb and all that stuff. Whereas this very much feels like it's plonks you bang in the middle of a war. So the continuity is kind of irrelevant.
I am genuinely excited to play it. I really, really can't wait. I don't play a lot of that style of game, so the fact that I'm probably going to miss
Chimera Squad. You're next,
Confenad. Yeah, I am. Well, I really, really loved that first sort of remake, reboot. Well, it was a reboot, wasn't it? The first
Enemy
one.
Within.
Yeah, I remember previewing that for God is a Geek, I think, on PC, and being so excited and thinking, wow, this is going to floor people.
Yeah.
I was actually talking to Mick about this the other day, is that the second one, while I can definitely appreciate it's a good game, it just didn't quite capture the same... Like, the first one felt like lightning in a bottle to me, and it was like, this is just amazing. Nobody's doing this, and I'm sure someone will in the comments be like, oh no, there was this indie dev, and I don't doubt that, but for me, that was just like, this is... No one's doing this. This isn't like, you know, Call of Duty 15, this isn't like FIFA 65, this is something different. I haven't played something like this for a long time. And the second one just, it just didn't quite grab me the same way. And I'll be honest with you, I never got more than sort of 3 or 4 hours in. I think I got 2 hours in on the first time, and then I come back and had another few hours. It just didn't grab me. But this being Gears, and I'm an unashamed sort of lore fan, I mean, I feel stupid saying lore when it's with Gears, but I'm sorry, I like it. I like the story of Gears.
I like the universe. The Gears universe is good.
But the weapons are damn good. Like, the thing is, people take the piss now, but the thing about that first Gears, where it was a gun with a chainsaw on it, was cool. I'm sorry, and I know these days perhaps you're not supposed to be like, but it was cool. And so they kind of grabbed me, and they've kind of kept doing that. You know, the Hammer of Dawn, a weapon that literally rains a beam of laser from the satellite. So yeah, I'm dead excited. And while we probably won't spend a huge amount of time on it, XCOM Chimera Squad. I mean, the review's up. What did you give it? 7.5, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And
it's not as good. Like, it's not as good.
Box the, quote again.
Yeah, just for that. Not as good as XCOM. Or Gears Tactics.
Not as good as Gears.
XCOM's not as good as Gears Tactics. I said what I said.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's... Chimera Squad's all right. It feels like a spin-off. It doesn't really follow any of the XCOM continuity, and I think Firaxis confirmed that and said it's kind of its own thing.
Yeah.
It's neither a sequel nor a prequel, it's a spin-off.
So there's the big question for you, right? This is the big question that people are going to probably want to know. Is this them having a go at some ideas?
Definitely.
Let's face it, XCOM 3 will be... Yeah, it will be. Yeah, it's coming, it's got to be, right?
XCOM 3 is coming. Chimera Squad definitely feels like... And I think they confirmed it as well, actually. They just wanted to try stuff.
That's fair enough.
And I think I would be surprised if elements of Chimera Squad don't pop up in XCOM 3, like for sure, like the breach mechanic. Because the big problem I had with Chimera Squad, I won't go into it too much because it's in the review, it went on and on and on. And like something like it even go on and on. It was only 20 hours on, but it felt like it was.
That's
going
quite
on.
A lot. Like, yeah, I mean, you've told me that Gears is long.
It's nearly double that. Gears is big, and
you see, that's what worries me. That does worry me a bit.
But they mix it up a lot in Gears. There are so many different mission types and so many different. And like some missions, you might do like I know we're going back to Gears, but say for example you're doing a rescue mission, right? There's one mission type as a rescue mission where you have torture pods, two torture pods in the level, and then your gears start in the middle, and you've got so many turns to rescue the gears from the torture pods, and then they join your squad. Well, there are loads of different modifiers for these missions. So some in one particular mission, you start off with just one gear. You've just got one, and you get to pick who it is, but you can only take the same gears on one mission in a row. So you can't just take your core group on every mission, on every side mission. You have to pick different people. So going in with one gear when you don't always get to choose and having to only start with one and get all the way to that side of the map, rescue that, all the way to that side of the map, rescue her... That kind of thing makes massive differences when you're playing. Whereas in Chimera Squad, you don't get any of that. You just get your squad is just there, and it's the same. Every mission is pretty much the same. I mean, you might be rescuing a VIP or shooting a VIP, but basically, it doesn't make much difference. So, and so that's the big thing. Like Chimera Squad, I got bored. Like 20 hours of playing Chimera Squad of just the same thing over and over again. Grated on me, whereas Gears I didn't. And plus, of course, with Gears you've got this massive story which is going on, so you've got cutscenes and you want to know what happens next. Chimera Squad, it didn't matter. You just shoot that group of bad guys and then move on to the next group of bad guys for 20 hours. So that was a big difference. And even XCOM, like XCOM Enemy Within, even and XCOM 2, they mixed it up a lot. Like they enemies changed and objectives and things, whereas Chimera Squad doesn't have that. It feels like it should have been 12 hours. I'd have been happier.
10 quid is, I think...
But for 10 quid, for 20 hours of game, for 10 quid...
Oh, wow, I didn't know it was that price.
Yeah, it was $8.99.
It goes up after, I think, May the 1st. It goes up to $16.99. But even that...
If you're an XCOM fan...
Well, judging by the comments on our YouTube review of that game, I'm not so sure if you're an XCOM fan, you're going to be okay.
I don't know. People were pretty fair with it, to be honest. I thought it'd get savaged a lot more than it did. The XCOM fans have been like, well, you know what, 16 quid or 8 quid to play a little bit more XCOM while we wait for the XCOM 3 that we know is definitely coming.
It almost feels like they knew themselves that they couldn't charge this at like 40 quid or something.
I think they did, and I think they knew that they were going into this. I think rather than say we're doing XCOM 3, here's early access of it, fix the bugs and things for us. They just went, we've made this little smaller game, probably with a DLC studio or something that's going to be working on the DLC for XCOM 3, whatever. But they've got this game and they've just gone, let's see how it does in the wild. I mean, and you can't really knock them for that because they're selling it at a fair price. And it takes risks. And funnily enough, the risks, the new stuff, mostly is the best parts of the game. Like the breach mode is excellent. It's just brilliant. And there's no way breach mode won't be in XCOM 3.
Yeah, I
don't think they'll go with the pre-made characters and stuff. But
well, maybe if that's what they want to do, maybe this is them sort of saying, "Look, we kind of want to tell a story."
But then you've got a mix. Like again, Gears Tactics has got the best of both worlds. It does that because you've got the three main characters, which I said, Gabe, Michaela, and Sid. You can change their armor and their gear, but you can't change their appearance or their names and all that stuff. You can just swap out their armor and weapon mods, but the other characters, you recruit up to, I think, 20 gears in your little squad, and you can modify them right down to, you can't change genders. If they're a male, they're a male. You can't swap that, but everything else you can. And you are constantly unlocking hairstyles and tattoos and even hair colors and accessories and face masks and God knows all sorts of stuff. And it's got so much customization. But at the same time, they're like, you can't touch these three core characters because these are the story characters. So it's possible to do it. It's possible to give you the best of both worlds. So I think that's what I said again in the review. I think genuinely XCOM is the daddy of this genre. XCOM has been, because I remember when I reviewed, I think, XCOM Enemy Within, and I said, I can't believe everybody's not doing this. And now everybody is doing it. And I think finally now with Gears Tactics, somebody has sort of... somebody's, you know, the
raised the bar on us in a way,
master. Yeah, and I think that's the change. I think now, I think Gears Tactics has got things to teach XCOM. Genuinely,
wow. Well, Adam, I know you haven't had much chance to play a lot since we last spoke, but what, anything you want to?
So I'm going through Return of the Obra Dinn at the moment. Now I know I briefly talked about it a few weeks back. But like with the time I have, I never got to finish it. So I just said I'd start a new game, go through it again. And I kind of feel this time round I have a far better understanding of what's going on now. Because like when you play this game, it is confusing at the start.
Like it's been on my list for ages and I still don't fully understand what kind of game it is.
Yeah, and it doesn't in any way hold your hand, and it doesn't, like, you can find like almost like the hints and little tutorial text pieces that are there are almost hidden within, like, you press a button on a certain icon on a menu and you're like, oh, this is now telling me something that I now understand a bit better. I think now knowing the main crux of the game, This is so good. This is so good. I'm playing it on the Switch. It's running just perfect on the Switch. Like it's not a hard game to really get running that well anyway. Yeah. But I think it all comes down to the music, the story, and the general just detective work that you have to do, and unraveling like all these, like, this. It's 60 people, 60 people's fates that you have to like figure out.
Is and it long? Like, what average have you put in so far?
So I'm about three and a half, I think, in. But I heard that it's only like 8 or 9 hours or something like that.
Because when people say like there's 60 stories, I sort of think, oh, is this going to be... I mean, I've got it installed on Xbox. I just need to...
You have to play this. You would love it. Okay. But the thing is, when say like you come across a body and it will give you like a little cutscene... which is mainly like audio dialogue. And within that audio dialogue, you have to listen to like the accent that's being used, whether they have dropped a particular name of someone, some other crew member. And there's a lot of like just taking that in, looking at pictures, looking at the crew list. When you look at the pictures, you may find like an outfit and know that this person works there. It's hard to explain in general, but you just have to be very on point with every bit of information it feeds you. Okay. And when this happens, you have two things to do. You just have to name the person and how did they die. And within their fate, you have like 3 pages of different ways that they could have died. But some of them are very obvious, because as soon as you get like the audio dialogue, it'll open up this like almost scene of the accident that just happened, and then you can just like run around and kind of like see how many people were there to witness that, and then it'll tell you, like, it'll last for about 30 seconds, this particular moment, and when it ends, you're then free to go around and zoom in on these characters, and you have to break down their path within the journey of the Obra Dinn, is what it is. It seems like for the length of time that the game apparently is, it seems like it's going to be way longer, because, as you said, 60 people.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like it's going to be ages. But the thing is, as soon as you find some of the crew members, you can tell straight away what's happened to them. Like, you can be like, all right, they just got shot by that guy. So you can just put that in, and that's cool. But as I said, still, like, I'm only, I'd say, maybe 10 or 12 crew members sorted. But, like, I think what throws people off ever so slightly is you really shouldn't get bogged down with the fact that you're not discovering the fates of all these crew members immediately. You're supposed to, like, figure out and unfold the stories that happen, because a lot of the ship is actually like closed off on you, and this is kind of the cool thing about it is you go around, you pick up all these stories, and it's like you're logging it all into this what is an empty book at the beginning. You log it all in, and then once the game shows you that, like, okay, there's nowhere else to go now, that's giving you the hint to kind of now go back and look over what you've just discovered and how many people you've figured out.
Okay.
But the storytelling is amazing, the dialogue is amazing, the music's amazing. Like, this is the same guy who did Papers, Please, if that's your bag.
I was just going to ask, right, this game actually came out a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
So, theoretically, it's Lucas Pope, isn't it?
He
must be working on something.
Oh, I'd say so, and I think because didn't he work on Uncharted?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Like, I'm pretty certain he had a part in Uncharted 2 anyway, and I think he did a bit of 3, and I think that's where he got employed by Naughty Dog at the time, and don't quote me on this, but I'm sure he just wanted to go off and do these kind of things, these kind of games. So I love Papers, Please. I think that's a really cool game.
I'd like it on Switch. Did it come to Switch?
Yes, that I don't know.
I'm sure.
Did it?
Oh, yeah. See, I've never played stuff, because stuff like that just flies under my radar. I don't even look
at it. I think you'd like Papers, Please.
Yeah, I've heard people, and Obra Dinn as well.
Obra Dinn is totally your bag, Mick.
Because I don't, you know, I like to use my brain now and then, not just blow stuff up. But I generally just sort of, if there's a choice between sort of something I have to think about and something where I just get to shoot stuff, I always go for the shooting stuff option. But that sounds, I've always, people have said Return to the Obra Dinn is, I mean, there's a couple of like YouTubers I follow and stuff like that that have gone on about it at length as well. So.
Yeah, the only criticism I have so far, and it's actually funny because I went back and read Chris's review on it. He gave it 9.5 on the site. And the only negative Chris gave, and I completely agree, is some of the fates, when you see it right in front of you, you're like, okay, that person is... It's really hard to figure out if they're like choked, or is it they're being strangled, or are they dead? Like, you know, because the art style is so peculiar, it's like a black and white, almost like I don't know what way, static looking kind of effect. Sometimes it just is a bit difficult to figure out, and you can guess, like you can just put in the thing, but like it doesn't tell you whether you're right until you get like another 3 right, and then it'll cross out that particular one. So sometimes you're better off like not just immediately guessing, just waiting it out and making sure you have your definitive answer, because by the time you end up filling in 60 crew members, I'd imagine, and you're like, okay, the one's wrong, but what the fuck is going on with this? Do you know what I mean? What's happening here? It's just one of those things, but I highly recommend it to both of you anyway. And
I got to find... I said this last year.
I'm you sure did.
I still haven't done it. And like, if I've not got time now...
Yeah, I know, but... It's one of those things where, do you remember when I was like on about Gone Home to you?
Yeah.
Just play Gone Home. This is like another episode of this where I'm like, you know it's supposed to be good, you're just waiting.
You'd be so angry if you knew what I had been playing all day today. I'd just been playing FIFA, mate.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
All day I've just been playing FIFA. I miss football so much.
Yeah.
I don't know either of you as sports fans, but like,
not at all.
There's a hole in my heart right now, man.
Here's a question for you, actually. This is the most sport I'll ever talk.
Okay. It's not wrestling. Hang on. Is it wrestling?
No, not in the slightest. This is actually football chat. Football.
Okay. I'm actually quite excited about this.
No, it's actually a genuine question, because I was here the other day, and on the radio it said about all the people who are missing out in football and et cetera and stuff, right? And how it's never going to return for a while and all this jazz.
I did say
to myself, that's fucking pretty harsh. This is the first time I'm actually feeling for the sport heads, right? Right now, because I put myself in a situation that if someone took away Pringles or something like that in my life.
Pringles
and video games and horror movies, and it was like, it's not coming back for a few months, I'd be going crazy. I'd be going doolally, okay? Mm-hmm. But now, some video games obviously are on hold. So kind of in a way, it's happening in the games world, right? However, I can go back and replay a ton of games. I can go back and play my backlog. Do football fans rewatch football games in this current situation?
Okay. So I don't. I believe I am the weird one. So I know people who will say, like, don't tell me the score. I've recorded the match. I'm going to watch it later.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
I can't do that. It's happened. Yeah. It's in the past. It's a live event. If the score was 2-1, I'd rather just look it up and go 2-1, maybe watch the goals, but probably not. As a kid, I used to watch Match of the Day, which is like the highlights program. But now, because so much sport is on the TV all the time, I feel like if I didn't watch it live, forget about it. There's no point.
Busting out your VHS copy of the treble?
No. That's quite good. That's fair play. Well, I used to be a Man United fan as a kid.
Have you got the Nick Hancock DVDs back out?
They're VHSs, surely. Maybe VHSs.
Probably are, yeah.
The closest I've come is the Match of the Day. I think I mentioned this on a podcast recently. Do like a podcast where they rank the top 10 whatevers of the Premier League era, and I have been watching that. They've been putting on, you know, at work people have been talking about this. They put on like the 1990 England match, so you know, such and such. And I thought I might watch that, but then the thing is, that match was the one where England went out on penalties, and both two of my favourite footballers at the time both missed penalties. And I actually can still close my eyes and remember the camera angle right behind the goal as it went straight over the top like a try in a rugby match. And I thought, I don't want to watch that. I don't want to watch that, and I didn't. And I don't enjoy watching repeat. But then I'm also one of these that I don't these days tend to watch films. Like, I love Apocalypse Now, I love Pan's Labyrinth, but I haven't watched either of them for God knows. And I don't really replay games.
Fair enough.
I feel like I want to move forward.
I haven't got time to replay games.
That's kind of where it is for me.
And I say that, but I mean, I put a few hours into Monster Hunter and like.
That's modern.
Just a couple.
Speaking of moving forward, then, I suppose we should talk about Streets of Rage 4, really.
No.
Yeah, now, I had a question about that. Actually.
Go on.
Because you've played it, right?
I have, yeah. Not as much as Chris. We'll talk more next week when Chris is back.
Because Chris has done that. He's reviewed it, didn't he?
Yeah. Chris. Yep.
How does that... Because I think I said to you, what's it play like the other day? And you were like, same. And I thought, well, the same. Because the original's like, what, 25 years? How old is the original Streets of Rage?
Well, Mega Drive.
It's ancient, isn't it? I had it when I was
Let me check that information.
Yes. Researcher Adam Carroll on the job. Carroll on the job.
That's pretty much an antique as games go, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's proper retro. Well, they keep re-releasing it.
Would it have even been in the 90s? Would it have even been as late as...
It was 90s, Streets of Rage came out in
1991. Just in the 90s. So when you say it plays the same, like, that's old.
Yeah, okay. So maybe I misspoke. What I meant to say is that when you think of how well it played, and it doesn't, not really. It still plays fine, but in your mind's eye, it's like, oh wow, it just played so good. That's how it now actually plays. Like juggle in this. Like there's little combos. They haven't really talked about this, but there's little combos you can do. Like with Blaze, you can. So you know you had a back attack. So like I'm facing you right now, but you can press backwards and attack, and you do like a if they come, you know, something to be a punch or like a you know whatever. In this, you can actually do that and combo it into a like a special or something. So there's like. There's more depth than I've... I'm not... Again, I haven't reviewed it. I've not played. I've not finished it yet. but there's more depth than...
How many hours have you put into this?
Well, I don't know, you see, because I kept trying out different characters and starting again, and I played some with Chris in co-op.
There's new characters, right?
Yeah, there's... And I'm absolutely spacing on their two of their names. One of them is Adam's daughter.
Oh!
And... what? Yeah, I know. And what's her name? Wow. I can't remember her name. She's excellent, actually. She's really... She can actually run if you... You know, like in... Would it be Mortal Kombat where you double tap like a direction, you start running, don't you?
Yeah.
So that you can do that with her. Like she can actually run. So whereas Blaze moves quicker than Axel, she can actually run. And what I've noticed, again, I haven't finished it, but what I noticed is that each character, because I was flitting about replaying levels, feels like they have quite a unique use case. So there's these enemies. All the enemies you knew are back. And by the way, this game looks amazing.
The animation's good. How are the animations?
They nailed it. The soundtrack and the presentation is next level. It is so good. The audio is... the soundtrack is just, you know, chef's kiss, as they say, mm-hmm. in the cool hip circles. but she... Is it Candy? I can't remember her damn name. And I really liked her. But she's got like a guitar and her special is to smash like a Gibson Les Paul style. She smashes it over when she does her special into people. And like she jumps up and plays like a chord. That's another one of her specials. It's Streets of Rage. But she, if you run and do her like, because like, you know, the grand upper. So forward attack. Hers is the forward start. She's running and the attack jumps her into the air and does like sort of, multiple hits as it passes through them. So the reason I tell you that is that there's an enemy with a shield, like he's holding a shield in front of you and he's walking towards you, and if you don't get rid of that shield, you're not doing any damage, and if you don't get rid of the shield quick enough, he can interrupt you and then the shield recovers. Her sort of forward smash move really knocks that shield out, then you've actually passed them, so you can turn around and do it again and take. So I found her really useful for them, right? But on top of that, the other new character, who again I've forgotten the name of, the big kind of burly guy, his special doesn't do damage the way the others do. Like it's not an area of attack. His special just grabs someone, like it from like extra distance, it grab them and put. You can grab one or two people at once and start throwing them or whatever. So he's super slow but mega powerful. Mm-hmm. And it's just like I say. Well, Chris will say more, but it is just.
I think my thing about Streets of Rage, and I was saying this last week, that like my excitement level isn't really all there for it. It's not that I dislike what I've played as Streets of Rage. I've played 1 and 2, 2 a lot. I've not actually played
3. 2's
the
one, yeah.
It's the movement. I feel them, and I know people might say, oh, but it's not about that. But it's like, well, you kind of have to fucking move in the game, so it is. It's part of it, you know. I don't really like the whole moonwalky kind of feel.
That's what I was thinking.
Do you know when you kind of like you see an enemy in the top right and you kind of you come up in an
diagonal
angle?
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. And that, I always feel there. For me, that kind of feeling, it's the first time I'd say that I'd like an arcade stick for that kind of thing.
Yeah, I went between like the D-pad and the stick, and I'm having a bit of a crisis of that full stop, because like playing Mario Maker, because that massive update, I feel like I should play with the D-pad for those games.
Yeah.
But I've become more comfortable. I think the D-pads aren't very good these days. Mm. Like the Switch D-pad isn't great. The PS4 one isn't great. The only one that's good is like the Xbox Elite one. So I feel like I've become a stick player in that respect. It's still got that. Like the example I'd give you is, you know, the knife guy, like he just holds a knife in front of him and just sort of jukes forward. This is why you should be watching the video version. Like, he just runs forward with a knife. You get that angle ever so slightly off there,
yeah,
and he'll still clip you. Do you know what I mean? But you can also get behind him and still just sort of grab him in the middle.
This is the thing. Obviously, you know, we keep saying Chris will. He's reviewing. Yeah. He'll have more to say. But this is what I want to ask you: Is 4 a thing that? If you love Streets of Rage, you're going to love this number 4.
Yeah.
But, like, is it doing a whole lot different? Aside from a couple of combos, new combos, and a visual overhaul. Or is Streets of Rage 4 held on with, like, pure nostalgia and just...
No,
like...
I do feel it's modernised. Like, it feels just that... It feels quicker. Everything feels just that little bit snappier. Like, it feels... The animation makes it feel faster. Like you feel like the punches are animated in a way that it feels like the combos are real and you can combo in. Like I say, if you knock someone in the air, you can actually then, if you're quick enough, jump and fly and kick them and like, so here's an example. In, you know, so you get a knife. No, let's go with a pipe. You get the pipe and you can swipe them with it. You can also press a button and you can throw it, right? When you throw it, it hits them, they go down, they get knocked over, and it flies up in the air. If you're quick enough, you can actually catch that pipe. Like, there's a button to catch that pipe, so you can, it's that much more responsive. Mm. And with that in mind, when we were playing co-op, like, Chris knocked someone into the air, and I noticed, so I turned around and jumped and fly and kicked him back towards him. And I was just wondering if that really can be combat. And the same thing happened when he threw like a pipe, knocked him over, and it landed. It was in the air, and I just pulled it out the air and then smacked someone with it. And it had that sort of, it just feels like super, it just feels really good. Like, I just, like I say, it's how you think it felt, but it didn't feel that way.
I'm very intrigued by how long this game is going to be.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you what hours I've put in, because
like, that alone is quite something, because you're not really going to
like, there are unlockable characters, yeah. And although Chris does mention one of them in his review, and it has been shown, I think we may have footage, I can't remember if I captured some, but I think I did, I don't really want to say the name, because although it's in the review, I don't want to, and I'm sure they've used it in marketing, it just, I kind of want to see who else is in here. Because I was left. Skate, wasn't it? I want to see if Skate's in here. I don't think he will be. I don't know. Mm. I'm going to find out. I am mega excited to just keep playing it.
Is there a fair price for this game?
I don't know, because one of the reasons I've not sort of rushed through it, if you will, is because this is coming to Game Pass day one. Okay. So I really want to kind of play with people, because we played co-op, me and Chris. It's also got a battle mode, by the way, that's new, which is like a four-player online. Was it four-player offline? It's either four-player offline, two-player online, like PvP mode. Because in co-op, you can actually turn damage off or on, because Chris kept hitting me and I kept hitting him, so we ended up changing it to turning damage off. But that's, you know, it's always been a score attack game. It's always been that. So
I tell you what impresses me a little bit about it. No, impresses is wrong, but I tell you what I find interesting is that it's Streets of Rage 4.
Yeah.
Like, in 2020, there's a 4 on Street. It's not just Streets of Rage and a reboot a remake. And it's almost rare now that a game is that, you know, a franchise that old would have a sequel now. They could have just rebooted it. They could have done whatever they wanted. But to continue it, I don't know how the story works, because I've not played it. Honestly, don't remember the original.
It's canonical. It is a sequel story-wise as well, yeah.
It's Double Dragon next. Will we get a proper remake?
They did that. No, they did that, and it was
bad. Yeah, but that was pants, yeah.
No, I mean, that was...
Streets of Rage, a reboot, though, Mick. Like, I think you're onto something,
man. Didn't they do that, though? Didn't they make a 3D one?
Did they?
I'm sure someone, or was that Toe Jaminel got a 3D one? That was awful. I'm sure they made a 3D Streets of Rage game.
Maybe Rocksteady should do us.
Because imagine that. Imagine Rocksteady doing a
Streets of Rage reboot.
They must be doing something
with that combat.
They have. They have been saying
Streets of Rage game.
Like, I'm not saying it's Streets of Rage, but they have been. I think a couple of months back, they said it's just not what you think it is.
Yeah, because they were hiring, weren't they? They were hiring.
They were hiring, and then like everyone was like, "Oh, it's Superman," and everyone came out and said, "This and that."
Then they thought there was a rumor that it was going to be an Iron Man game, I think, at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
God, but then they said, "No, they said you'll be surprised." So, you know,
well, I think at this point, if it's not a Batman game, that's all it'll have to be a surprise. Because just come on now. But like, anyway. But Streets of Rage, I really love it. It is
cool.
It's one of those where I feel like people would look at me and go, well, of course you're going to love it. You love those games. And like, that's true. But like, I also genuinely believe if it's bad, I will say, look, this just doesn't work. And I think it's great. I think this is the studio that does that. They did the, was it Wonder Boy?
It is, because Chris said that last week.
Yeah, they did that game. And again, they made that a brilliant modern game.
Yeah, that looked great.
They are real good at it. Right, let's move on then. We've only got one listener correspondence this week, because we didn't set the call out, and I saved this from last week. So, we'll start with you. Well, Mick, let's go to you, mate. It's your first ever listener correspondence because we didn't used to do this. Thomas McInnes wants to know, what was the last meal that you really weren't looking forward to, but you really enjoyed? He says, I thought I was scraping the barrel with curry super noodles, but actually I wasn't disgusted. And that's the qualifier. He didn't say it was good. He said he wasn't disgusted.
I think I've got... hey, Thomas, by the way. I love Thomas. I've probably got two, actually. I remember... Yeah, because I was vegetarian for a while, right?
I remember.
So, you know,
Sorry, just Mick, this is why you watched the video. You'll only have seen Adam's celebration when you
there
said
you
that.
Are. If yeah, you're glorious.
Are you a vegetarian now?
Yeah.
Are you? I tried it, right? And I did well, 16 months. Now, I eat meat more than anything. I would have bacon strips on my cornflakes.
You strike me as a man, Mick, who goes out hunting in the morning.
Yeah, I would, Mick, if I could.
Please do not give Mr. Carroll ideas. He's already done weird stuff with bacon. He doesn't need it on cornflakes.
Mm-hmm.
About 2 years ago, because my wife, she's vegan, and I went vegetarian for a while. So during that, I think it was like 16 months, during that period of time, there was a ton of it, of meals that I didn't want to eat. Like, I didn't used to like stuff like mushrooms, and I do now, so things like that. But I remember I went to a wedding during that period, and they were serving the menu choices were like steak and, I don't know, veal or something. And then the vegan choice was vegetarian. The vegetarian choice was... like a nut cutlet, right?
Okay.
Is it nut cutlet? Something like that. Anyway, and I thought, I nearly changed it there and then. I thought, just for one day, I'm going to have steak because I didn't really want this. But then, I put my name down and I stuck to it, and we went for the meal, and they brought it out, and it just looked like a block of stuffing. This nut cutlet thing. Yeah. Like I had stuffing on the plate, and then I had a bigger slab of stuffing next to it. And I was looking at this thing, thinking, just wrap it in bacon.
Yeah.
And I'll give it a go. But I ate it, and it was absolutely lovely. It was absolutely gorgeous. And in fact, we bought some. We went to like Asda or somewhere afterwards and just bought some because it was really nice. So there was that. I remember back in the days when I used to hang around with students. I was a student, don't get me wrong.
Thank you.
And I didn't go to uni, so I just went to sort of college. But a couple of my friends went to uni, and this one guy, I went to stay with him for a couple of days, and I was starving. And I think we'd been on a night out, and I think it was like the Sunday after, and we were nearly dead. And while we were sitting there, sort of being thankful to still be alive after the night before, I said I was hungry, and he said, "Well, you know, I'll cook you something it was a student thing." And he said, "You know, this is where we raid the cupboard, and whatever's left, we just put in a pot and eat because we've got no money, and you know, students are poor and all that stuff." So I said, "Well, go on, then, what we got?" And he came out with a bowl of super noodles that he'd put shredded cheese, on top of. And then nuked.
I'm still in it. I'm still in.
Yeah. And it was basically it just looked like a ball of melted cheese. It was weird. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And I just looked at it and I thought, I'm not going to be rude because I know you've got nothing else in the cupboards. Yeah. And this is culinary cuisine you've made for me. So I thought, I'll go on then. And I sat in it and it was actually really nice. And that was just literally a bowl of super noodles that he'd just put a fucking pile of cheese on and then nuked it in a microwave, and that was the meal. And I thought I wouldn't eat that if I was starving to death, but I did, and it was really nice. So
why are noodles the college thing? Like, okay, they're cheap, I get it.
Yeah, because like cheaper is like 59p for a pack.
But you can get a fucking bag of pasta the size of a town for like a quid.
Yeah, it's true.
Do you know, and off you go. You can put all the cheese you want on that for years. Like, the noodles thing. Yeah,
I don't know. I wasn't. I never went to uni, so I don't know. Maybe there's a...
No, I'm same. Can't help.
Maybe there's a
can't
reason.
Can't really help. Adam, what about yourself? Anything you really weren't looking forward to but enjoyed?
Once ever, I'd say it was a risotto.
you'd never had it before?
No, I did. Okay. But I've always had, like, every time I've been given risotto, I've been like, it's really? Just like, ah, it's a bit bottom. Like,
really? What?
So here's the thing. I don't know why I feel this way, but if I'm having dinner, and whatever dinner I'm having only needs a fork and not a knife, I feel I'm cheated. I feel like there's something going on here. I'm not enjoying that I don't have another metal thing in my hand.
I sort of get it, but
do you know what I mean? It a mission to eat everything with just a fork? Like, so, if I could possibly just mash something with one hand.
But like macaroni cheese or like a cheesy pasta thing, I think one of the great things about that is that it tastes, to quote someone like you, Adam, savage, but at the same time, and you'd appreciate that, but at the same time, just a fork needed.
I don't know. I just feel like okay. I'll just start. There's no like. I like the kind of it gets put down in front of me, and then I'm like, okay, napkin. There we go. Some sauce.
You want the etiquette, don't you? You want to work out to in. You want your
like, give me a knife sharpener. Get cutting into that, and I'm good to go. You know, I feel like there's something happening.
Put that down. That's a dessert spoon.
Yeah. But then it's just like here you go, and I'm like, oh, I just start then. No preparing, no build up, no looking at it for a few minutes and just kind of going, oh, I can't wait to eat you now.
Yeah, because I guess if you're sitting with a bowl or something and you've just got a fork, and people are going to be like, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, but you know though, like you get a risotto, right? And it is nice. And that one was particularly nice that I had. It was a mushroom risotto. It was lovely.
Oh.
But,
sorry.
Like, I did look around when I was having it at everyone else's table or plate, and I was just like, so you have, and I know it's by choice. I know I'm choosing this, and I could easily go off, but I'm looking over and going, so you have a steak, right, over there. You're sitting there with your steak, but on the side, you have onion rings, you've a salad, you've roasties, and you've got some, like, veg stuff going on. And I'm like, why do you get all that? And I'm looking at my thing going, where's my roasties and salad?
See, that's the thing with being a vegetarian, though, isn't it? Because my wife's vegan, and we go out. And I mean, last night I ordered I said, you know, we went on Just Eat, and I said I'm going to order some food, and she said, well, let's have a look then. And we trawled through the menus, and in the end, she said, I'm going to have some fucking toast with something on it. You order what you want, and I ordered like this massive pizza and some chicken wings and stuff like that. And Lydia just sat there with like toast, and I felt bad. I did, but at the same time, I thought, well, you know, if you
not your fault,
it's not my fault.
Because
you know, places still don't really fully cater for vegetarian. I mean, we went to a pub once, and like the vegetarian menu was salad, and that was it. And like, there was I had this massive choice of all these pages, and Lydia was like, "Have you got anything vegan?" And they said, "Well, we can whip you up a salad."
Yeah,
you know,
salad and no chicken.
And so, so I kind of get what you're saying with that. Like, if you have the vegetarian choice, quite often they don't even put all the extras on that you would get. Like, just give me all the extras and take the meat away, and I have that that's a meal there. But they don't do that. They give you something that's just the veg.
It's hilarious you say that, though, because, as you said, like, you know, the vegetarian could sit there and get their salad, and then you could go, can I have the chicken here? And then they'll turn around and go, yeah, would you like it stuffed with black pudding and sausage and bacon? And you're just like, well, that. Like, fuck.
Yeah. I'm like, can you just cut the chicken open and put every other meat in it, and I'll have that, and then give her all my salad.
And then, and you're like, could I just have the salad, please? Like, yeah.
So, Adam, do you have a problem with not using a knife and fork? You feel...
No, I have a problem with, like, I just like to use both.
Yeah, but... Oh, okay, it doesn't work.
It feels like more of an adventure.
How do you eat pizza, then? Do you like... Are you like...
Status.
I eat my pizza with a knife and fork.
Oh. Do you actually? See,
yeah,
I
eat my burgers with a knife and fork.
Well, you had me at pizza and you lost me at burgers.
See, I eat the burger with the knife and fork, because what I do is I eat the burger and the top bun first, and then what I do then is I get ketchup and I put that on the side of the plate, and I use the bottom bun to cut up and dip into the ketchup, and I like that as my ender.
For those who are listening, not watching, I'm shaking my head.
Yeah. And I'm sort of... I
won't say disgust, but probably closer to some form of pity. I don't know.
I mean... I'm looking now, I'm sort of judging him a little bit, like looking at that wardrobe behind him, thinking that looks like real wood. Is he a lot posher than we thought?
Maybe. Listen,
I mean,
now do we have video going, lads? I may have to bring my meals onto this thing. And
that would be amazing.
I would pay actually. I think you could have a YouTube channel of you just eating burgers with knives and forks.
ASMR, Adam's ASMR eating stuff.
I'd like to also say the other reason for it. It's not actually like if I get a pizza and if I get a burger even. It's not that like I'm doing it because of I don't want it on my hands. I'm doing it because I like the fact that it lasts longer.
Okay, I can kind of go on board.
Yeah,
I say because I eat a slice of pizza in like 3 bites.
Yeah, and if you hold a burger, if you hold a burger in your hand, if you hold the burger and you go bite, you're not putting it back down and going. You're going bite, and then you're holding it.
See, I don't. I put mine back down on the plate. And then I go.
You're so posh.
I try and keep the burger for last, so I try and eat the bits, and I just have to have a bit of the burger. Now we go back to the chips and maybe a bit of the beetroot and the salad and the.
See, everything comes out even on the plate. Like that's how I do it. So like even like a full English or something, I'll have a little bit of everything, and I'll just keep going around the plate until I've got one mouthful of everything left. Yeah.
So the last bite has a bit of egg, a bit of toast, a bit of bacon, a bit of sausage, a bit of beans.
Question. Going a bit off track here slightly, but. When you get your meals, is there a particular thing you go for first? So say if you had a steak and you have chips and you have this and that.
The worst thing.
Are you going straight to the steak? Or are you going to take one chip first?
The salad for me goes.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because I want that gone. I'll get that out of the way.
I have to taste the steak first. Like if there's a steak on a plate or if there's a couple of...
I can get behind that.
A couple of nice big Cumberland sausages or something like that. I'll take a taste of that first. Chips are always kind of like a buffer food. They're just sort of there between other... But I if I've got a plate with vegetables on it, usually I'll just whack the veg down so it's gone because then I can just enjoy the rest of the meal. I know I've eaten my... Yep. I've
eaten. Fair play in eating it though. Yeah. You're not just putting it aside.
I didn't used to. My wife, God bless her, she's... She's done more for me eating veg than my mum ever did.
Same here. I mean, mine is really not very interesting now. You two have gone, but mine is basically my youngest son loves chicken pie. Like, probably his favourite meal, homemade pastry.
I would never have guessed you were going to say chicken pie. Sorry to interrupt. My youngest son loves, I thought of all the billions of things that could possibly drop into that sentence.
He's actually
chicken pie was never going to be.
He's not even a big chips fan. He eats them, but he doesn't like a lot of them. So chicken pie with mash and the veg. He loves the chicken
pie. I've never had a chicken pie.
Well, this is the thing. So it's chicken and ham Claire makes. And usually when she says chicken pie tonight, I sort of go, and this is only going to work on video, I just sort of go, yeah, all right.
Oh, really?
Fine. Yeah, and I'm always like... And then when we have it, I'm like, I'm such a prick. I mean, everyone else knows that, but to me, it's his news. And I'm like, why would you dislike? I can't help it. I can't. For some reason, it's the one time I can't just go, chicken pie. Yeah. And it's like sitting by. Sort of...
Is it because you've had it so much over your lifetime?
No, we don't have it very much. Because I always go, she mentions we're having it.
Because if you're talking like that... If you're talking like that, like for me growing up, if it was ever like, we're having a stew for dinner, I'd be like,
See, my old man was the same because he was military. He could not eat beans. He literally could not eat beans. Just memories, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Chicken pie sounds good.
Yeah, no, it's really good. I just, for some reason, I just sort of go, like a little child.
I don't get excited about bangers and mash.
Oh, but bangers and mash is a classic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's one of those things, like most people say, what we have for dinner, bangers and mash, and they go, a bit of bangers and mash.
No, I'm with you.
It's very, like a British thing, isn't it? But that's one of those, because I don't eat mash much. Like people...
No, but it is another one of those where you sort of go, but then when
seems
you have
it... a running theme in the geek camp that like people are like against mash.
Oh, I'm for mash. Creamy, cheesy mash. I am big time for
my
mash.
My wife is
creamy, cheesy mash.
I don't know, not for me.
Claire whisks it
all the way.
Oh, I take roasties, of course. Mm. But we can't say too much because we have a food ranking podcast, which this isn't an episode of, just in case anyone's sort of...
yeah, because
we've skipped half an hour in. We've done as much food as we have games. Yeah. Yes, thanks for being on our game podcast, Mick. This is definitely not a front to talk food. That is it for this week, this episode, I should say. Thank you very much to Mick and Adam. And hopefully, if all's gone well, there will be a video version of this. You can see us... I'm sure we're all going to be over the moon with that. We're all over the moon. Adam's the only one who looks like he's actually dressed properly, done his hair, the beard.
I actually haven't, though. Okay. Thanks for
But mate, you've got an awful lot more of it than me. I have to wear a hat now.
I've none under this.
Yeah, no, the hat. If you people will be wondering, why do they always wear hats? There's a damn fine reason for that.
It's like an antique dresser.
I'm not there yet, but I'm damn close. But yeah, this is it. Reminder that we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/scottisageek. You can probably see the look of deadness in my eye if you're watching the video of trying to promote ourselves, because we're all really bad at that. But yeah, that gets you this podcast early. That gets you Fork Off if you play the $5 tier. There's exclusive videos. There's all sorts of stuff on there.
Every little helps.
And we do give away a lot of game codes on there as well, which we're a little bit behind on. I said that last week. I will get on top of it. That's an Adam Cook promise. I don't make those and break them. But otherwise, Mick, Adam, thank you for being here.
Thank you, my friend.
Everyone else, we will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen.